From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
It is wonderful to be back in China, and I'm grateful for the Chinese people's extraordinary hospitality.
That was U.S. President Barack Obama in Beijing at Monday's session of the summit of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum.
This is my sixth trip to Asia as president, and my second this year alone. And that's because, as I've said on each of my visits, America is a thoroughly Pacific nation. We've always had a history with Asia, and our future, our security, and our prosperity is inextricably intertwined with Asia. I know the business leaders in attendance today agree. I've now had the privilege to attend the APEC CEO Summit in Singapore, in Yokohama, and in my original hometown of Honolulu, now in Beijing. And I think it's safe to say that few global forums are watched more closely by the business community. There's a good reason for that. Taken together, APEC economies account for about 40% of the world's population and nearly 60% of its GDP. That means we're home to nearly 3 billion customers and 3/5 of the global economy. And over the next 5 years, nearly half of all economic growth outside the United States is projected to come from right here in Asia.
China's President Xi Jinping delivered the keynote speech on the Asia-Pacific dream as the summit opened Sunday.
We have a responsibility to create and fulfill the Asia-Pacific dream for the people in this region. This dream is to adhere to the spirit of the Asia-Pacific community with a mentality that the region as a whole has a common destiny. This destiny is to follow a path of peace, development, and cooperation, and to devote ourselves to the prosperity and advancement of the Asia-Pacific region together.
In the sessions that followed, over 1,500 business delegates discussed the direction that China's proposed economic reforms might take and how business could make use of any opportunities that might follow. President Xi met on the sidelines of the talks with Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. We have this from the Japanese news agency NHK.
The leaders of Japan and China have agreed to improve ties. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and Chinese President Xi Jinping held talks in Beijing on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum. It is the first time they've met one-on-one since they took office. The meeting lasted for about 30 minutes. The onset of the talks was open to the media. It was the first summit between the two countries in 2.5 years. Bilateral relations have been tense over a group of islands in the East China Sea and perceptions of history. Abe said China's peaceful development is an opportunity for Japan and the international community. He said he wants to work with China to make use of the opportunity as the world's second and third largest economies.
The talks became the first step for Japan and China to improve ties in the spirit of a strategic relationship that is beneficial to both sides. Many countries, not only in Asia, were expecting the Japan-China summit talks. I was able to respond to such expectations.
Abe said specific matters between Japan and China as neighbors should not harm their overall relationship. He called on Xi to work together for better mutual understanding among people, stronger economic ties, closer cooperation in the East China Sea, and a more stable security environment in East Asia. President Xi replied that he will work to improve bilateral ties. He said he hopes that Japan will maintain its stance as a peace-loving nation. Xi referred to a 1995 Japanese government statement that expressed deep remorse and a heartfelt apology for Japan's colonial rule and aggression in Asia. He said it is important to face history squarely and advance toward the future. Abe said his cabinet upholds the stance of past governments and the perception of history. The two leaders agreed to prepare to launch a communications mechanism to avoid unexpected incidents at sea and in the air.
Russia's President Vladimir Putin was also there, and he was all smiles after Russia and China announced another bilateral mega deal in the energy sector that would make China the sole buyer of Russian gas. RT's Paul Scott in Beijing has more.
An agreement has been reached then for a second pipeline to supply Russian gas to China. Now, you may remember earlier this year, the two countries signed the biggest gas deal in history, $400 billion, for Russia to supply gas to China for up to 30 years. Well, the announcement of this second pipeline, this second route, which is going to be known as Western Route, to run in conjunction with the earlier announced Eastern Route, is expected to almost double the volume of gas that can be exported between the two countries. And as you say, just to give you an idea of how large this deal is, it means that China will become the sole importer of Russian gas.
The gas supply to China from the Russian Federation under the latest deal will add up to 30 billion cubic meters per year, doubling the overall sales agreed to in an earlier deal announced this past summer. Putin also addressed the many heads of state from around the world gathered in Beijing for the APEC summit.
We see great competitive advantages that this rapidly growing center of economic technology and innovation offers. The development of such regions of Russia as Siberia, Far East, opens up unique opportunities for the countries of this vast region, opportunity to efficiently use new opportunities and further strengthen its potential. For Russia, cooperation with Asia-Pacific is a strategic priority, and it is very important that for our relations with the overwhelming development relations of the countries of the region, characterized by general positive, constructive spirit, we value the determination, and we are determined to further bring forward multifaceted bilateral and multilateral cooperation.
We
think that the experience of many of the Asia-Pacific countries serves as good example in terms of building competitiveness. They are at the forefront when it comes to innovation, finance, and investment. And even despite negative financial trends of the past few years, have been showing good dynamics with an insignificant drop in growth rates. That said, in order not to be caught in the retracted recession, the countries of the region will need to do important structural reform. It is not by chance that our Chinese friends outlined structural reform as one of priorities for its APEC presidency. Russia is no exception. For us, structural economic reform is a top priority. Today, trade with Asia-Pacific accounts for over one-fourth of all trade volume of Russia and its foreign partners, and we're planning to grow this share to 40%, and we're making specific steps to expand the geography of our exports to increase our share of manufactured and high-tech goods in the trade volume. In the future, we are planning to create a network of accelerated growth-based stretches with preferential tax treatment and facilitated administrative procedures. Companies that will be located there will be mostly producing manufactured goods that will mostly be sold in the Asia-Pacific region. I would like to use the occasion to invite you, ladies and gentlemen, to use opportunities that are opening up and locate your production in the Far East of Russia. Let me reiterate, we'll do our utmost to create best conducive environment for your work. As compared with 2009, the volume of direct investment from Asia-Pacific to Russia doubled, amounting at the moment almost $9 billion. The volume of Russian investments in the Asia-Pacific region is smaller, a little under $1 billion. As a result of past year, but we're planning to deal with this disbalance. We hope that the creation of the National Coordinating Center to develop economic cooperation with Asia-Pacific countries will allow to launch new projects. which Russia will be part of. For us, one of the key partners in the region is China. As part of cooperation with China, we are planning to more actively use national currencies for bilateral settlement. First, transactions with settlement is done in rubles and RMB are taking place as we speak. We are planning to grow our cooperation in energy. Our experts are currently looking at the opportunities Russian-Chinese Intergovernmental Commission on Investment Cooperation is operational. Its priority task is implementing investment projects not in energy sector, and this project should be implemented on the principles of mutually beneficial cooperation. Similar format to develop dialogue and practical interaction in investment will be launched with other partners. Economic integration is moving to the forefront of the APEC agenda. We believe that the most important achievement of the Chinese presidency is approving specific steps to create future free trade area in Asia-Pacific. This format should take into account interests of all the stakeholders, businessmen in the first place, and take into account peculiarities of our economies, the difference in the development levels. Future Asia-Pacific free trade area will have to interact with other major regional integration unions. In that respect, let me remind you that as of January 1st, 2015, Eurasian Economic Union will become operational. It consists of Russia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, and Armenia. That's in the process of accession at the moment. We're seeing a new high-capacity regional market emerging based on WTO rules with unified rules free from barriers impeding free flow of capital, goods, or labor. It opens up great opportunities for cooperation, for technological exchange, and investment. One of the strategic goals of the Union to participate very actively in the integration processes that are underway in the Asia-Pacific region, and I'm sure many of our Asia-Pacific colleagues will be interested in such cooperation. The Union is already negotiating free trade area with Vietnam. We are open for such specific dialogue with other economies of the region. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO summit brought together captains of industries from the region. Some already have experience working in Russia. Others are just looking into opportunities. Therefore, let me touch upon subjects that are traditionally of concern for investors. Long-term priorities for a country's development remains unchanged. Macroeconomic situation in Russia remains stable. It is one of our big achievements, something the value and treasure will be pursuing balanced and very cautious fiscal policy. Public debt will not be growing. We're planning to limit it to a safe level where we can control it under 15% of GDP, that is. We know that today our national currency is experiencing serious fluctuation. That said, financial authorities are taking the necessary step. CBR continues targeting inflation, will continue doing so in the future. Central Bank of Russia.
Sunday marked the 25th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall, which led to the almost instantaneous collapse of the so-called Warsaw Pact, the military alliance of the Soviet Union and Eastern European countries, created in 1955 to counter the entry of West Germany into NATO. But 25 years after the wall crumbled, divisions between countries persist. RT's Igor Piskunov looks at the way the world's changed and where things stand now.
The fall of the Berlin Wall meant more than just reunification of Germany. It was about remodeling the entire global political and security system. After the wall fell, the USSR began one of the largest military withdrawals in history. Nearly 340,000 soldiers, 677,000 tons of ammunition, over 4,200 tanks, 8,200 armored vehicles, nuclear warheads, and the list goes on. Basically all in good faith.
Nobody expected the Russians to leave without, using force. But Gorbachev did exactly that, and that made it all possible.
Change was more than just a possibility. It was charging ahead like a locomotive. The Soviet Union collapsed, and a new Russia opened its doors to the West. Clothes with American symbols became must-haves for the young. Moscow city center became flooded with crowds once again, but not for protest rallies, but in front of the doors of the country's first McDonald's.
The line of people went all around the square. For hours, they stood patiently alone with friends and even whole families to get a taste of that famous American Big Mac. In those days, this McDonald's restaurant, the biggest in Europe, was daily visited by at least 30,000 customers, an absolute record for the chain.
But soon the euphoria died down as the new Russia dove into severe economic and political crisis. Factories shut down, the gap between the rich and poor widened, and prices skyrocketed along with organized crime. While the West...
America could have come in with a new Marshall Plan, bringing in new technology, bringing in high technology, and helping Russia to develop. But then American industry didn't see why they should make Russia more competitive. Why, in fact, bring Russia up to a level where they can compete with us?
On a military level, despite previous promises not to, NATO expanded to the east, surrounding Russia, adding more fuel to anti-Western feelings in the country.
NATO went for the second wave of expansion, this time to countries of the Baltics. And that, of course, created a fury in Moscow. Russian distrust of the intentions and actions of the West is total. After all these 25 years of broken promises.
If back in 1991 only 6% of citizens disliked the United States, today this figures at a record 71%. Symbolically, that first McDonald's has been temporarily closed, officially due to sanitary concerns. While instead of shops with t-shirts and hoodies with American symbols in Moscow center,
today you can find a shop like this one, selling clothes and accessories with images showing none other than President Putin. And we hear they sell like hot cakes.
As the world marks 25 years since the fall of the Berlin Wall, we may be seeing new barriers currently being built. Financial, political, and military, as if history never happened.
What we went through during those years, those decades, is a lesson to us all, and we must not forget.
Yegor Piskunov, RT.
Then Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev was the one man most responsible for the reunification of Germany and the end of the bipolar world. He addressed the assembled dignitaries in Berlin Sunday.
То, что произошло в последние несколько месяцев, я бы охарактеризовал как коллапс доверия.
I think, and this view is shared not only by people close to me, but by many other leaders, that what has been happening over the past few months is a collapse of trust.
Доверие, которое с таким трудом, взаимными усилиями мы создали на выходе из холодной войны, доверие без которого международные отношения в глобальном мире вообще немыслимы.
The trust that was created by hard work and mutual effort in the process of ending the Cold War. The trust without which international relations in the global world are inconceivable.
Но связывать это лишь с последними событиями ошибочно.
Yet it would be wrong to link it only to the recent events.
Я должен быть откровенным.
I have to be frank with you.
Доверие было подорвано не вчера, а гораздо раньше.
This trust was not undermined yesterday. It happened long before.
Корни нынешней ситуации в событиях 90-х годов.
The roots of the current situation lie in the events of the 1990s.
Конец холодной войны был лишь началом пути к новой Европе и более безопасному миру, мировому порядку. Но вместо того, чтобы выстраивать механизмы и институты европейской безопасности, провести масштабную демилитаризацию европейской политики, что, кстати, было обещано в Лондонской декларации НАТО, Запад и особенно Соединенные Штаты объявили себя победителями в холодной войне.
The end of the Cold War was just the beginning of the path towards a new Europe and a safer world order. But instead of building new mechanisms and institutions of European security and pursuing a major demilitarization of European politics, as promised, by the way, in NATO's London Declaration, the West, and particularly the United States, declared victory in the Cold War.
Лідерам западного мира ударила в голову ейфория, тріумфаторство.
Euphoria and triumphalism went to the heads of Western leaders.
Воспользовавшись ослаблением России, отсутствием противовеса, они заявили претензию на монопольное лидерство и доминирование в мире.
Taking advantage of Russia's weakening and the lack of a counterweight, they claimed monopoly, leadership and domination in the world.
К предостережениям, с которыми выступали, в том числе и многие присутствующие здесь, не прислушивались.
And they refused to heed the words of caution from many of those present here.
И вот события последних месяцев стали следствием недальновидной политики. Политики навязывания своей воли, свершившихся фактов, игнорирования интересов партнеров.
The events of the past few months are consequences of short-sighted policies, of seeking to impose one's will and fait accompli while ignoring the interests of one's partners.
Пунктиром только перечислю. Расширение НАТО, Югославия, Косово, планы ПРО, Ирак, Ливия, Сирия, многоточие.
A short list will suffice. The enlargement of NATO, Yugoslavia, particularly Kosovo, missile defense plans, Iraq, Libya, Syria, and the list goes on.
Образно говоря, возник нарыв, превратившийся в последние месяцы кровоточащую, гноящуюся рану.
To put it metaphorically, a blister has now turned into a bloody, festering wound.
Кто больше всего страдает от происходящего?
Now, who is suffering the most from what is happening?
Думаю, здесь двух мнений быть не может. Это наш общий дом, Европа.
I think the answer is more than clear. It is Europe, our common home.
Вместо того, чтобы стать лидером перемен в глобальном мире, Европа оказалась ареной политических потрясений, соперничества за сферы влияния и, наконец, военного конфликта.
Instead of becoming a leader of change in a global world, Europe has turned into an arena of political upheaval, of competition for spheres of influence, and finally of military conflict.
Следствием всего этого является неизбежное ослабление Европы, в то время как другие центры силы и влияния набирают мощь и динамику.
The consequence inevitably is Europe's weakening at a time when other centers of power and influence are gaining momentum.
Если так будет продолжаться, Европа утратит сильный голос в мировых делах. К ней перестанут прислушиваться.
If this continues, Europe will lose a strong voice in world affairs and gradually become irrelevant.
Здесь, в Берлине, в дни годовщины падения стены, не могу не сказать о том, что все это негативно сказалось и на отношениях между Россией и Германией.
Here in Berlin, during the anniversary of the fall of the wall, I have to note that all this has also had a negative effect on relations between Russia and Germany.
Есть признаки, что продолжение нынешней линии может нанести долгосрочный ущерб нашим отношениям, которые до сих пор были образцовыми.
There are signs that continuation of the current course could cause lasting damage to our relations, which have until now been exemplary.
А ведь без российско-германского партнерства не может быть безопасной Европы.
Let us remember that without Russian-German partnership, there can be no security in Europe.
Бисмарка, что ли, на консультацию пригласить?
Perhaps we should invite Bismarck for a consultation.
Ну, это немцы пусть подумают.
Let the Germans think about it.
Как же нам начать выход из этой ситуации?
So how do we begin to get out of this situation?
Опыт 80-х годов прошлого столетия свидетельствует, что даже самые, казалось бы, безнадежные ситуации не являются безвыходными.
The experience of the 1980s testifies that even in apparently hopeless situations, there has to be a way out.
Тогда обстановка в мире была не менее острой и опасной, чем сейчас.
The situation in the world was then no less urgent and dangerous than now.
Ядерная угроза – это уже была реальностью.
The danger of nuclear war was real.
Но мы смогли переломить обстановку, ситуацию.
Yet we succeeded in...
Не просто нормализовать отношения, а положить конец конфронтации, холодной войне. В этом заслуга политических лидеров того времени, повторюсь.
Yet we succeeded in reversing the situation, not just normalizing relations, but putting an end to confrontation and the Cold War. Political leaders of that period can rightly take credit for that.
И сделать это, друзья, удалось прежде всего благодаря тому, что был возобновлен диалог.
This was achieved primarily through the resumption of dialogue.
Негативные тенденции можно остановить и обратить вспять. Главное при этом политическая воля и правильная расстановка приоритетов.
Negative tendencies can and must be stopped and reversed. The key to it is political will and the correct setting of priorities.
Сейчас появились первые признаки возобновления диалога.
First signs of a renewed dialogue have now emerged.
Достигнуты первые, после пока скромные и неустойчивые результаты. Я имею в виду Минские договоренности о прекращении огня и военном разъединении на Украине, трехсторонняя договоренность между Россией, Украиной и ЕС, приостановку процесса наращивания взаимных санкций.
The first, albeit modest and fragile, results have been achieved. I'm referring to the Minsk agreements on ceasefire and military disengagement in Ukraine, the trilateral gas agreements between Russia, Ukraine and the European Union, and the suspension of the escalation of mutual sanctions.
В этой связи хочу призвать вас внимательно отнестись и всех остальных политиков, особенно тех, кто стоит, возглавляет правительство, отнестись к недавнему выступлению Владимира Путина на Валдайском форуме. При всей остроте критических формулировок в отношении Запада и особенно Соединенных Штатов Америки, я увидел в его речи стремление найти пути снижения напряженности и в перспективе создания новых основ для партнерских отношений.
In this context, I would like
Именно
to urge,
так надо понимать это выступление.
In this context, I would like to urge you and political and government leaders to consider carefully Vladimir Putin's recent remarks at the Valdai Forum. Despite the harshness of his criticism of the West and of the United States in particular, I see in his speech a desire to find a way to lower tensions and ultimately to build a new basis for partnership.
И надо как можно скорее переходить от полемики и взаимных обвинений к поиску точек соприкосновения, вести дело к постепенному демонтажу санкций, ущерб от которых несут обе стороны, прежде всего, снять так называемые персональные санкции с политических деятелей и парламентариев, чтобы они могли присоединиться к поиску взаимоприемлемых решений.
And so we must, and the sooner we do it, the better. We must move from polemics and mutual accusations to a search for points of convergence and a gradual lifting of sanctions, which are damaging to both sides. Now, the first step, the so-called personal sanctions that affect political leaders and parliamentarians, should be lifted so that they could join the process of seeking mutually acceptable solutions.
И одним из направлений взаимодействия может стать помощь Украине в преодолении последствий братоубийственной войны, восстановлении пострадавших районов.
One of the areas for interaction could be helping Ukraine to overcome the consequences of fratricidal war and rebuild the affected regions.
Я думаю, можно выделить два направления, где диалог жизненно необходим и где ему не нанесен большой ущерб. Это, во-первых, сотрудничество и решение глобальных проблем. И, во-вторых, общая европейская безопасность.
I would single out two areas where dialogue has been damaged, but where it is vitally important. The first is cooperation in addressing global challenges, and the second is pan-European security.
Я думаю, мы сейчас еще раз убедились, что европейская безопасность может быть только общеевропейской.
I think that we have seen once again recently that European security can only be pan-European.
Никакие попытки решить эту проблему через НАТО или оборонную политику ЕС положительных результатов дать не могут.
Attempts to solve the problem of security in Europe by enlarging NATO or through
an EU defense policy cannot bring positive results.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.